The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Arty Gras podcast, where we dive into all things art and culture in Palm Beach County. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm excited to share another wonderful guest with you today. Jean Martin is here with us. She is an artist, illustrator, designer, wearer of many hats, I think, creatively, and she's also going to be the mosaic artist for 2025, which we will talk more about. But welcome, Jean. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to talk about many things creatively with you. But first of all, I want to give some people your a little bit of your background, how you got into illustrating, how you got into design, maybe where the spark was first lit for you.
Well, that is hard to say, but my earliest memory of liking art is my mother used to do these really cool little cartoon heads. They were very professional looking. It was just heads. It was women's heads. And then the girl who babysitted for us was really good at drawing horses in pencil. And I remember looking and saying, oh my God, I want to do that. So I don't know what makes people want to be one thing or another, but I just got excited about rendering and drawing. And I took, you know, classes in high school, and then I went to a community college for a couple of years. And when I was trying to figure out what to do next, I kept looking at the art departments, but trying to find something more practical. And finally, I just said, okay, I'll go for art.
Oh, I love that. Forget practical. Well, just go for the passion.
Go for what I want.
Well, you and I share that background a little bit because, you know, I was inspired by my dad, who was a professional artist. But, of course, I grew up in that creative environment and got to see him creating on a daily basis because his studio was in our home at the time. So I knew, you know, similarly from an early age that this is just something that I just want to do. I want to know how to do it. When I see other people do it, I get really excited about it. And, yeah, just early on and got to follow that and pursue it.
As a kid, I also really loved doing crafts. And my mother bought these kits for me, and it was from the National Handcraft Society. And I can't believe I even remember the name because now I'm in my 60s. I remembered it.
It left an impression, though.
They're still there.
Oh, they still make them?
They still make them. I found them on Facebook last night just to verify that that was the name. And a kit would come, and I would do all different kinds of crafts. And then I had an aunt who knew how to sew, and she taught me how to use the sewing machine, and I made slip covers and suits. Nothing ever fit until I got to be an adult. Then I figured finally how to get things to work. Like they were all failures, but I was doing it. So,
but yeah.
And I would embroider, you know, it was like hippie stuff, embroidering on my jeans.
Nice. Now, where did you grow up? Were you?
Long Island, New York.
Okay. And did your family eventually move down, or are you the one who eventually came down?
I moved down. I have some relatives that moved first. So aunt and uncle with the LEM project with NASA. But that was, you know, I was still a little kid. Yeah. They did that. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I grew up in the area, but I know a lot of obviously people have moved down here and spent their younger years maybe vacationing or visiting other family members who had already made the move. So how did your experiences, I want to talk about some other, you know, career points for you. You've worked with the Armory Arts Center. You've worked with the Palm Beach Post.
Right.
How have those experiences now shifted and gone into, I believe you're just working full time as a, what's the word?
Freelance.
Thank you. Freelance designer and illustrator.
Right.
So can you tell us about those experiences working with those?
Well, entities? I worked for the Palm Beach Post for 25 years. When I got out of art school, which went to School of Visual Arts, I started working at Newsday on Long Island, where I was for a year. And then there wasn't anything for me. I didn't want to move into New York City back in there. It was a rat race. And I didn't have anything. Everybody was either gone or married. I just didn't have anything going on. So I packed a bunch of car books and stuff in my car.
The essentials.
And I just decided I would go cross country, and my car broke down in Florida.
Oh, all right.
And I mean, like one of the cylinders went, it was old jalopy. So I found a job at the Palm Beach Post. It was providential because I applied, and the person, there was one person in the marketing department, promotion department, they used to call it at Newsday, and he had just left like the week before, and wow, it was exactly the kind of department I worked in. They needed somebody. So, and then I went into HR, and the lady had the house that I rented for years. So,
wow. So like, just a string of serendipity, maybe.
Yeah, it was meant to be here. So anyway, I've been in West Palm, you know, now, pretty much the whole time since.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
It was and like 1984.
Wow. And you continue to work with the Armory Art Center.
Yes.
And now your role for them is kind of switched gears into some social media work. But mm-hmm. You do a lot of things. You do photography.
Right.
You do kind of commercial work where you'll put together spots for like their art festival that they do annually. Can you tell us a little bit about more how you work with them?
Okay. So I worked as a marketing director for the Armory for 5 or 6 years. And then left for COVID and everything, but then I go in and I take photos of their receptions or pieces of artwork or the classes or summer camp, and then I edit videos and write the social media posts.
Wonderful. Good. So more people know about them.
Yeah, sometimes print ads and
And I guess for those of our listeners who maybe don't know about the Armory Arts Center, it's a center for the arts. It's an educational center, adults, children, all ages classes, I think they have. Is that correct?
Yes, they have exhibits pretty much all year round, but I think they're all gone in the summer because they need the space for summer camp. But they have all these really terrific studios, jewelry, ceramics and sculpture, painting, you know, buildings where you could take classes.
I know somebody who does silversmithing over there.
Yeah,
there's all
a lot
sorts
of stuff. Good teachers and nice people.
Yeah. Have you ever taken any of the courses?
Yep.
What are some of the ones that you've gotten into?
Last year I took some clay courses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I just wouldn't, I don't know. There was a workshop about making surreal characters, and I'm like, oh, that's what I like to draw.
That's fun.
And so I took that, and they really like working with the clay. So I took an 8-week class and made some stuff.
Didn't inspire any claymation in the future?
too time consuming.
Oh yeah,
so
that's a lot.
I don't know about that, but they're cool.
So speaking of surreal characters, maybe tell us about some of the work that you really like to do, the illustration work that you do. I know you do urban sketching as well, but how would you describe yourself as an artist?
I always loved to draw. I remember drawing the kids in classes when I was, you know, just sitting there, and there'd be a guy sitting next to me and I'd be drawing him. And then, you know, as a young adult, just everywhere I went, I always liked to sketch. Mm. And it's just something I liked. So what was the question?
If you tell us about how you would describe yourself as an artist, what kind of work you do?
Well, I do all kinds of stuff because I get bored easily, and I'm also a compulsive learner.
Oh, okay. So you love
learning.
To dive into different new.
I take all kinds of classes, and I mean, I just watch a 40-minute YouTube video on Rizzo brushes and Procreate last night. Rizzo brushes, I'm going to call it. I really like that look, that old turn of the century printing technique, oddball, you know, humanizing like digital stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm always like learning something new.
Okay.
I just like that. Like, yeah. Which other people think they have to do it, I want to do it. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. So some of the mediums you mentioned to me earlier were the illustrating, motion design. Motion design.
Right.
Okay. And then the urban sketching, I want to talk about that a little bit too later.
Okay.
I know you have some, I don't know if it's a program or something that you still do, but I remember when I was reading about you that you did a drawing a day. Is that something that's still active?
Not in the same way.
Okay.
But what happened was I had a whole career of like, I had gone into management and I was doing director stuff and brand manager stuff, but I always kept my hands in creative. And then I just realized I'm a little introverted and I just like making the work. I don't really, you know, I don't want to be a manager or anything. So I looked at what I had, and I also wanted to figure out what I wanted for the next steps in life. So after COVID, I had all this time and government checks and unemployment, and I could learn some new things. So I had really wanted to do animation since I was a kid. Like, not a burning desire, but it was always planted back there. Mm-hmm. So I took some school of motion courses, and I started making some of that. And I also tried out a bunch of like programming and development, and I made a website for somebody in WordPress. But I didn't like how structured the web. I don't like working in that format because everything's in a grid, and there's a lot of technical problems, and it's just frustrating because if I want to move something here to there, I just want to move it. I don't want to figure out what code it needs to move over there
to shift. Yeah, that makes sense to somebody who's not at all a website designer. I use a very easy, like, Squarespace, you know, drop your photo here, and that's about the extent of it that I know.
Well, I can do that, but I always think I have to redesign it and all that. So, and then I just find websites less interesting than a fully animated piece. They're just a little bit boring. Yeah. They're functional, but I didn't want to do that. So anyway, I went with this full set of things to learn, and then I kept whittling it down until finally, I was working with the motion design, and it really wasn't getting anywhere. And then I realized from the School of Motion alumni, they have a monthly meetup thing. You know, they kept saying, if your design work is not really good, it doesn't matter how well it moves. It's got to be really solid. And it's not that I'm not, I've been considered a decent designer, but I never developed an illustration portfolio. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, well, I want people to hire me for an illustrator, they should know what I do. Now, I'm not totally there yet. I showed you my portfolio before, and it's got a million things in there. But I set out to standardize things somewhat and to develop a more full abilities and confidence in it.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like you're somebody who also has a broad range of abilities at this point that you can really dive into. Are there any projects in particular that stand out to you that you've been really proud to work on?
The thing that comes to mind most, which is not something I'm looking to do so much anymore, when I worked at the Palm Beach Post, I led a team. I was the brand manager, and we had brought the TV commercials and the broadcast in-house, and we did this really comprehensive campaign called Ask a Local. It was back when newspapers had a budget and people, so I'm giving away my age there. And we did bus wraps, vehicle wraps, buses, billboards, TV commercials, radio. So there were scripts and video, and we were working with a production company. So I just filled out every kinds of conceivable piece of art that could be used out in the wild, except for maybe a book, but it's magazine ads. You know, it was print, digital ads. So that was very comprehensive, and there were tight schedules, and I think it was very well received. And so that I'm really proud of. And much smaller is, but I've been trying to develop the illustration portfolio and find new clients. And I really I've always liked cool looking stuff, like just funky stuff. So Matthews Brewery gives me some work, and I'm able to, he's not a conservative client, so I'm able to make some weird looking stuff.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I've seen some of the animated pieces that you've done for them, and they're really fun. Even I think you said his hand is in there with his personal tattoos and pouring beer. Yeah. They look great.
Yeah. So my favorite of that stuff is I advertised this punk rock concert, and I liked the way the poster turned out, and I made social media posts with it. So
nice. Yeah. All those projects where you get to get into the realm that you want to get into, whether that's a little bit funky or a little bit, more off the traditional path of what people might hire an illustrator for, I imagine is what sparks some happiness in your, in your work. Right.
It's hard. Like, I've had a lot of conservative clients, medical. I do some doctors, and mm-hmm. even the armory is pretty conservative, you know, as far as the design that's done. And so, it's not a showcase for my drawings. It's
right.
You know, so it's nice to find a small business that's got kind of a funky, you know, like a barbecue place or some funny little kinds of businesses that are more apt to want things that look cool and weird and things like that.
Yeah. So and that helps. Feature their personality yeah. more, right? They can get their vibe, their feeling their across vibe. To their yeah, customers
their vibe
more.
Is different than somebody that's got to be straight up.
Yeah, professional yeah. in a different sense. Right, yeah. right. So
it's a good opportunity to do that kind of work yeah. and have it shown.
Yeah. What about your urban sketching? I wanted to circle back to that because I know yeah. that's still something that you do. I've right. seen you actually have the cover right now of Arts and Culture magazine, which yeah. is a beautiful cover. And that's an urban sketching piece, I believe, from Mounts Botanical
right,
Garden,
right.
which is a location that I love. If people, if some viewers don't know about Mounts Botanical, it's one of my favorite locations, cultural spots, you can call it, in Palm Beach County. It's uh-huh. a garden in West Palm Beach. It's actually right by Palm Beach International Airport. It's pretty easy to get to, but it's right. a gorgeous garden. So I do love to go there. I've done some, I've never thought of it as urban mm-hmm. sketching, but I've done some sketching there too, because it's just uh-huh. an inspirational spot. Mm-hmm. But you have a group as well that you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, there's the Urban Sketches Palm Beach. It's free to join. And pretty much every weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, Carl puts out a place that people will meet. It's not, you're not obligated to go, and yeah. some people go all the time, and some people show up every once in a while, and there's a big range of abilities.
Sure.
Yeah, and people are just very nurturing and supportive there.
How do people get into that community? Is it something that they find on online, on social media?
I learned about urban sketching on an online course, and then I just looked for if there was any. Local I think groups. I went to a plein air Palm Beach, which I don't okay. do as much plein air outdoor landscape painting. Mm-hmm. It just, even though that Mounts was, you know, I just said the urban sketching is a little different. Lots of times there's buildings and people and stuff right. like in it, as opposed to going out to a nature preserve and just having water and clouds. And,
yeah, just the landscape. Yeah,
right, correct. So you just can go up on Facebook and look for urban sketching
groups in your area.
And ask if you can join, and they'll put you on the list so that you get notified.
Nice. Yeah. I like that that's a group that meets yeah. up. Is there any kind of, I guess, method to choosing locations, or it's different every time?
Fortunately, that's not my job.
You just get to show up and enjoy the group. Yeah, that's great.
In the summertime, it's hot, so mm-hmm. Carl looks for places that are indoors. That's how we ended up at Matthews. And that's how I did Matthews as a client. I did their beer garden, and I did, you know, a couple of guys sitting at the bar with all the, you know, vats in the back or whatever they call those big steel things.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, and he gave me some work. So it's been a couple of years now.
That's
so
fantastic.
I did some things for him. Oh, but back to the daily. Somehow
daily
I just,
sketching.
Yeah, I just went into a side bar and no, didn't get to good. It. So in order to develop the style, I did some research on some artists that I liked, and then I put some Pinterest together, and then I just started this, you know, I took this one Skillshare class that had all these recommendations that I did, which were to set a time for every day, but it just has to be like 20 minutes or less.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be long. And to decide in advance what you're going to draw and have the materials ready. Because a lot of the things that stop people are those things like, oh my God, what should I do? And then they're staring at a blank paper.
Right, what am I going to draw? Yeah.
What you might use. So all those decisions are already made. So decide for the week. And then it was like, you know, the guy was suggesting you just draw things from around the house. And I thought, oh, well, that's just a little bit boring. So maybe I should draw something from around the house and then combine it with something else that's really, really weird, you know, just doesn't belong with it.
So like a still life, but that's got something that does not
like
necessarily go.
Fork with eyeballs or, you know, okay. like a slug in your spoon or a lizard with red painted fingernails, that kind of thing.
Nice.
And then another suggestion he had is to post these things somewhere so that you made them good enough that you weren't too embarrassed to show them,
okay,
and that people were waiting. So I started this Instagram channel called Weird Daily Drawings. So they were actually weird in the beginning. And so, so I just started posting and people started following. I wasn't promoting it and I got followers, and there were some like regular ones that would like look at everything and like everything. And God, I should pay those people. That was so nice. Feels good. So I was doing that and I was doing that every day. But in the last year or so, I think because I've got a lot of work for the Armory and a couple other clients, I haven't been keeping up with a daily drawing that I post on Instagram every day. But I do put up, I do still, you know, put some things up there,
mm-hmm,
and I will probably get back to it. But after COVID, then I started doing urban sketching. So okay, that's when I started developing more of a distinct look.
Well, that's kind of a nice time to join a group like that too, because you're, you know, looking to reconnect with community, but maybe some people, mm-hmm, are still wary about doing, let's say, an indoor class, yep, where you're sitting at the, right, same table together and, right, there's a little tension there still from, you know, mm-hmm, going from everybody wearing masks to breathing the same air again.
Right, right.
So if you're doing urban sketching and you're all outside, you can have a little space. You can find, yep, your own angle of the building that you want to draw and,
correct,
go sit there. I like that. Is there any process to, like, when the group kind of is done, do you all share your work somewhere?
We do.
Do you, how does that?
It's called a throwdown.
So, oh, okay.
It's scheduled. Mm-hmm. It's Carl will say 12:30, we're going to meet back at this fountain or wherever it is, and we're going to have a throwdown, and everybody puts their work down and they take a picture of it and it goes up on Facebook. And then frequently people stand up and say something about what they intended to do and how it turned out, what, you know, what they think about it, or,
nice,
yeah,
I like
why
that
they
part.
Pick that spot, or if they're trying a new material, or, you know, I usually say, because it's true, this is a work in progress. I'm going to go home and work on it, because I'm never really happy with it when I leave there. But when I go home and I tinker in my studio, that's when I turn. They're probably more than sketches by the time they're done. They're like paintings.
They're more evolved.
But I spend
than that.
2 or 3 hours, you know, tinkering until I'm like, okay, it's done.
So when you have a piece like that, does that live in a sketchbook forever? Does that ever become the, you know, the beginnings of a more like refined piece of work that you do, or do they?
No, I refine it,
okay,
to where it's going to get.
Yeah.
And then I have a bunch of them on Fine Art America. I,
oh, nice,
have a store on there so you could buy a print. And then I was kind of, I had them all in sketchbooks and I really loved them there, but I was asked to be in a show, so I had to cut them out and frame them.
Oh, okay, wow. So, yeah, that probably had to feel like a little,
how like that destruction, because it was so nice to just look through and,
right,
the memory of the pages.
Yeah, to have a beautiful
but
book.
But now I have all these different sketchbooks. I probably have 10 sketchbooks,
oh,
which are partial. But when I started with the daily thing, I had this one sketchbook, mm-hmm, one kind of paper, and I got through and did every page of that sketchbook, you know, and it was pretty much 20 minutes a day. Sometimes I get carried away and do longer, but it's the habit, you,
right,
know, just,
right,
setting a habit. And now I probably do draw every day, but sometimes it's a sketch for a job that I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, and I'll just take a stack of printer paper and do a bunch of thumbnails. You know, it's not always something that's ready to post. So.
Right. Yeah. How do you think the urban sketching has influenced the way that you, as an artist, you know, connect with Palm Beach County?
Well, I get to see a lot more places, and there's nothing like drawing to really notice things. You know, I was just thinking, I was talking to my next door neighbor this morning, and it was light, morning light that was coming and hitting the rim of his hair and his head. And I'm thinking, you know, if you're not an artist, do you even notice that stuff? Or is it just part of like a general feeling you get? Mm. You're like, when you're an artist, you're like, oh yeah, I wonder how you draw that, or look at the shape of the clouds. I just think it enriches your life because you're always like looking at things in a very detailed way, but even more when you're actually drawing. So if you sit down, like, you'll see things that you would never noticed if you weren't trying to draw those details.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
I'm in a similar boat of, I don't know if that's a normal or if it's just a normal for an artist, because of course I have those moments where I have to stop and say, how would I mix that color?
Yeah.
How would I get that exact shade of gray, green, right. yellow? And what would I use to capture that moment or light or whatever's happening? I frequently have to pull over and take pictures of things for references to like be able to really look at them more. But yeah, there's always that underlying ever-growing curiosity of that something, some detail that you just notice and have to dive in a little bit further to.
Yeah,
I love that. That's a way to connect with your area. Urban sketching seems like a fun thing to do and a cool group to be a part of.
It is. And then another thing I really like about urban sketching, you know, which I had learned from this Skillshare class, is this lady. I saw her urban sketches and they look really cool. And she would just, she put a few lines down for the perspective. But and other than that, she just dove right in and drew it with ink. And if there was a mistake, that was good because it makes it more quirky. And that's all for me, because if I'm not having fun, I don't want to do it. And if it's loose and a surprise and there's no pressure to make it perfect, I have more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just have gotten to be able, by just doing it all the time, I could sit down and draw lots of things without doing a pencil sketch underneath. And it just, it's on the page in the right spot.
Right. Yeah. The regularity of that practice elevates your awareness and
practice.
Yeah. How you probably have a different sense of confidence when you approach a drawing, even if you, you know, aren't holding it in some high stakes, I have to make this right sort of scenario, but you just approach it differently because you have a natural confidence from just doing it so often.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
So I'm here with Dr. Heckman, a breast cancer specialist from the Tampa General Hospital Cancer Institute. Everyone's talking about AI. How is Tampa General using it?
They're using AI to help with clinical decision-making with the patient, diagnosing the patient, and also with treating the patient and seeing what the response of that treatment is. It also helps with risk evaluation, tumor evaluation, also with treatment protocols, clinical research, evaluating the patient's response to the research, and also research itself with helping actual research help permutate massive calculations.
So let's talk about cancer. How's AI being used to treat breast cancer?
It's being used to treat breast cancer by choosing correct treatment with a doctor's help also, and also with choosing and diagnosing it actually, and also helping with research to further along our improvement in cancer care.
It's not going to replace doctors, right? It's just a resource for doctors, correct?
No, it's not going to replace doctors, but it improves patients' experience with doctors because they're not focusing on the computer. They're focusing on the patient. So the personalization and the care becomes just a lot more beneficial to the patient.
Awesome, Doc. Thank you very much. And that was your Medical Minute brought to you by Tampa General Hospital.
If you're like drawing a car and you don't have all the lines perfectly straight, sometimes that just becomes very charming, you know? So that's why I was doing almost everything digitally for a long time because I work commercially. And then taking the markers and the paint and everything out has just become such a big part of the way I create things to go back and forth between natural media and digital.
Is there a physical medium that you really enjoy the most?
I like gouache a lot and magic marker. Not, you know, I use a certain kind of marker. Mm-hmm, it's got a little variability to the weight, but I really like marker to just put it down.
To just go for it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we've talked about the urban sketching, which I love. Is there anywhere that I could look up some group images? Do I have to join if I just want to see the artwork?
Just go to Facebook.
This is on Facebook. Okay.
And look for Urban Sketchers Palm Beach. It's an actually international. There's an Urban Sketching Society, and Carl had to jump through all kinds of hoops
to form a chapter.
Fantastic. Which he did last year. He was really excited about that. But when you look for Urban Sketching on Facebook, you'll find lots of them. So you got to find the Palm Beach,
the locals,
if you want to see what we're doing. And then it'll say where you go, we're going the next weekend. And then people will put, there'll be the throwdown picture. Mm-hmm. And then people will individually put what they did, like if they come home and work on it more.
Okay.
And then everybody says nice things. It's like nobody's critical.
It's a nice group, a friendly, encouraging group.
It's easy.
That's nice.
It's just totally encouraging.
Now, actually, after I said that, I realized that I believe there's going to be an exhibit coming up in Lake Worth in the Cultural Council headquarters in Lake Worth, that beautiful building.
Right.
There's going to be an art show with the Urban Sketchers of Palm Beach.
There is.
And when does that happen?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Because fortunately, I'm not in charge of that either.
I love that.
And the other thing is, right now I've been very busy. I took a month trip cross country, checking out landscapes and art galleries, and went over to New Mexico. I went to a conference for children's book illustration in Colorado first, and then I came back down and checked out all of these New Mexico and Southern Texas locales, and looked at the art in the museums and the beautiful landscape, and took pictures. And anyway, so that set me back a little bit. So the Armory has been, you know, gearing up for season. So I got back and they had a lot. And then I got asked to do pictures for the Boca show that's coming up, and the Mosaic artist that I know we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Which, that's a big job. Like, every job is different.
Mm.
So, it's not like you're working in a factory and you've already done it, you know, the specific thing. So they found things in my portfolio that they liked, and it was like two different, like slightly different approaches. But I found one of the most challenging things about this particular piece is the size of it, and that they need to take it apart. So my laptop, like a lot of my equipment broke, like my laptop monitor went.
Oh, wow.
So I changed and I got the Max. I got the Adobe, the Pro Max with the chip, the five whatever chip and all. And then I'm like, okay. And then I was looking at my iPad, and, you know, it was just the best one I could get at the time I got it, but it didn't have enough memory for a big job like that.
Yeah.
So I changed the iPad and I got the bigger size. So I got all new equipment, and then I've been on with tech support trying to get things all straightened out. So, you know, there's just been a lot of that in this particular job.
Well, that's a lot of the behind the scenes of being a professional artist that people don't realize, right? A lot of people think, oh, that's so fun. You just get to sit down at your easel or your drafting table and make artwork, but you have to have the technical
tools. I'm trying to make sure that I have to give them a big piece that they could take apart and put at all different sizes and scales. So it's got to be in certain programs. And then if you don't have the power or the RAM or something's not working, like when my mom did the thing, everything went like dark and black. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on?
That's scary as an artist.
But I mean, I had wanted to replace those things anyway, so it was a good excuse. Uh-huh. But those things came up, and now I'm good for another 5 or 6 years. I got the best from the best.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. So,
hopefully lots of more interesting projects heading your way.
But I start with pencil, you know, like another tip I just wanted to share, you know, about sketching is if you want to do illustration and whatnot, is to get a stack of really cheap paper and use that for your ideation, because you won't get attached to it. Get this beautiful sketchbook. You'll be afraid to ruin it, you know?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
But if you have just a piece of paper and you're trying to get to an end, you could just like draw through your lines. And I like to set a timer. Like, I'll say, okay, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes and I got to do as many thumbnails as I can, or 15 minutes. But the timer is just so helpful for me, because I don't have the time to think about, I don't have an idea. I just have to get into it and start. And then you have some things to choose from. Once you start, you've got something to work with.
And then you can always go back into the nice sketchbook and put a little bit more time into the drawing there once you're comfortable with just loosening up. And,
but if you get right into drawing something and you have all this time invested and it's not right, but if you can do like five different, it has an energy to it when it's really loose.
That makes sense.
And then you have to try to figure out how to bring that life and energy from these really loose things into tighter things.
Yeah. Are there any kind of characters from your illustrations? Actually, we have a new character on our canvas behind us now, this lion up here. Yeah.
Well, the lion is going to be on the big piece of art. But he doesn't look exactly like that, but he looks similar.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember exactly how he looked, honestly.
Well, that's great. That's a great jumping off point. Let's talk about Mosaic. Yeah. So that's coming up. And Mosaic, for those of you who don't know, is the month of shows, art, ideas, and culture. And this is, I got it. This is something that's put on by the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County.
Right.
This is a yearly event. I think it's their eighth year. I think you're the eighth year of them doing it. And it's the month of May.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, sort of getting into the off season here in South Florida, but it's a showcase of venues, events, cultural centers, local artists that are here all year round and doing things all year round.
Right.
And there's a lot to engage in. So a lot of these entities or organizations will offer special tickets or discount pricing or, you know, new fun things to kind of come explore over the summer months. And Mosaic just kicks that off. So tell us about how you're involved this year and the kind of art that you're creating for that programming.
Okay. Well, it was a great honor to be asked. I'm on a roll with the Cultural Council. I couldn't believe it. First, they asked, you know, for that magazine article, the 6 pages of my
art. Yeah, it's an incredible article.
Oh, man. And then the Boca thing that's coming up. And then they told me I was on the short list to be, you know, their featured artist, which is, you know, why I'm here to talk about that. So they sent me a PDF of the things from the past years. And I was to do an illustration that's 36 inches by 24 inches, which I mentioned before is large.
That's large for,
And it would feature what things, you know, it's be like a composition that holds together and feature things that you would do and get the feel of Palm Beach County in a style that I wanted to make. But, you know, I asked them what they liked, because I think when you have a client, it's really important to know what it was that attracted them. So,
sure, especially someone with a like diverse portfolio.
Gazillion things. And, you know, this is good for me because I still am in pursuit of narrowing down, you know, something where you look at it and you're like, oh, Gene did it. Mm. You could tell with the urban sketching, but I'm not so sure exactly with the rest of it yet. I'm still honing that. So, you know, I did some sketches. We have been going back and forth, and it's a work in progress, but it's getting there, you know.
Nice.
So chosen a few places to feature.
Yeah, and now I know, I mean, just from what I've seen in Mosaic in past years, I know that this artwork ends up in a lot of places, and they'll probably have pieces of it here and there to kind of feature.
Cups and t-shirts.
Right,
and
all sorts of
posters,
promotional and, material.
Banner ads and all different sizes and shapes. And that's why they were looking for somebody that knew how to make it digitally so they could take it apart and put it back together.
Right. And am I right in thinking that you'll also be featured at a location during May? Do you get involved in open studios at all?
I have been personally involved.
Okay.
A friend, Elaine Weber, in Lake Worth.
Oh, that's right.
And she asked me last year if I would help her out at her studio, so I was there. And I also went up to Gainesville. I have another friend, Karen, who she actually started the Artists of Palm Beach County. She was a founding member. She moved to Gainesville and she did an open studio. So I went up there. So a couple times I sat for a couple days or a day or something at a studio as people came in. But that hasn't been directed by the Cultural Council. I was just doing it for a friend.
Gotcha.
So most of my involvement with the Mosaic project in the past is preparing material for the Armory Arts Center to participate.
Right.
I made the ads, you know, used my photographs, you know, and I submit, you know, materials for them so that we could advertise and be part of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. No, yeah. I love the programming. I got to experience a few, you know, the fun things that were going on last year. And of course, being a part of the Open Studios, which I've got my official hat on for still. I love that that's a program that they do. And it is really important to feature those things when we're in off season. Because like I said, we're, you know, we're people who are here year round, whether it's on or off. And it's nice to know the venues are still, you know, drawing people to our area, whether it's just for a weekend event or something special that month. There's just a lot to showcase.
Yeah.
So it's exciting that your work is going to be all over that this year. I love it.
What's interesting, too, is just trying to think about what's iconic looking. So as I was going through all the institutions that are in Palm Beach County, some buildings are kind of plain. And some are, like, I put the Armory front and center because I have been involved.
Special connection.
And they have an Art Deco building. So it's very recognizable. Mm-hmm. If you've never been there, you wouldn't recognize it. But we want to get people in there.
But it's adjacent to a nice, beautiful property. The park there is wonderful. Uh-huh, you know, it's next to Flamingo Park and the historic houses that are all there. So it's it is a special area for sure.
Then I picked one of the sculptures from the Ann Norton Sculpture Garden.
Oh, beautiful.
Because Ann Norton's work is very distinctive.
Incredibly. And that's a gorgeous area. It's one of my favorite spots to go to.
I put the Murakami in there.
Very nice. Yes.
The building was pretty iconic looking. The Kravis is very iconic looking. Mm-hmm. But I looked at a lot of places and they weren't going to be recognizable.
Right, right.
So for the zoo, I used a monkey and I have a lion. And they're all fairly cartoony and, getting to the point where I'm trying to figure out the actual execution of the coloring, whether I'm going to do it just flat, where it's going to be textured. Mm. And I just, you know, I've been interested in this rhizo printing look. So I might play around with that and see.
And tell me about the rhizo printing looks. I'm not sure I know what that look is.
Mid-century had a lot of different printing processes. Like you would look at comic books and they were half tones, or even the advertisements and they were a little off kilter. So they just look more analog. And rhizo printing, it was a printing technique that's like lithography, and they're flat colors, but when one color lays over the other, they mix so you could see through them. And so you can make multiple colors, and they're just a little bit rough, and there's artifacts, and they're a little juicier, and there's more mistakes, and it's just an interesting look, and when you see it, you feel like that mid-century. Mm. You get it.
Sounds like it's got a little life to it because of those variables.
And that's one of the things about making digital art. It can be very cold, and if you're going to make it entirely digitally, you have to figure out ways to add texture and a little grunge and lint and marks. You know, like there's brushes you can get that are like stamps that look like your paper was folded, and that there's creases, and there's dust marks, and all of that makes it look more human.
A little dog hair in the paint kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see this work from Mosaic. I haven't gotten a glimpse of it yet, but I know it'll be, around as soon as we blink, right?
Yep.
Let's talk about some other features of Palm Beach County, I'll call it. I love to ask this question to all my guests, which is, if anybody was visiting or even living in Palm Beach County, what is one area, building, cultural experience that you would tell them is a must see?
Okay. Well, you know, that is a really hard one because there are a lot of things to do here. But I feel obligated to talk about the Armory because not enough people know about it.
I agree.
And they always have something to do there. Most of the times of the year, there's an exhibit up and it's free. And there's good quality art. And there's two galleries. And there's also workshops. So if you're coming from out of town, you can go with a friend and just take a 3-hour workshop. And they're geared to beginners. And it's just a lot of fun. You can learn jewelry or clay or painting or collage. There's just a big range. So there are different ones. You'd have to look at the schedule. So if you're here year round, take a regular class.
Right, right.
And then there's a festival every year that's got outdoor festival and a lot of demos and things like that. So I would recommend that
Yeah, that's a great
can
spot.
Can I just do another one?
Of course, yeah.
Well, I do like outdoor beauty because I like to do the drawings and I like to walk. And so that's really hard to pick too. But I do like the Mounts Botanical Garden and the Ann Norton Sculpture Garden in Palm Beach. It's just gorgeous. Yeah. And it's so peaceful. When I used to work at the Post, sometimes I'd drive over there and just sit there. You know, a lot of stress. I felt stressed out. And I'd sit there and look at the fountains. And
yeah. No, it's a beautiful garden.
And it's nice to be in nature.
Yeah. And it's
in an urban area.
It is. It's, you know, you're driving through a neighborhood and previously just right there in the downtown area. And it's all very close together. But you really do feel like you're in an oasis. And her work is so monumental that it, you know.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I was talking about I meant the Society of the Four Arts.
Oh,
Garden.
Society of Four
I
Arts
do
is
like
another
the
one too.
Too.
Yeah,
but the Society of the Four Arts, it's free to go in.
That's true,
and that's where I used to go.
Yeah, that's a great version. No, that's closer
up.
Too.
Not to Dis and Norton. I mean, they're in my picture, but I go there less frequently.
Yeah,
but it is. That's they're both beautiful spots.
They really are. Yeah, and the Society of the Four Arts, they also have, you know, programming throughout the year that people can get tuned into. And I know they do different, you know, kind of engaging with authors and have book tours and all sorts of like really special things there as well. Yeah, that's a great
nice
one to check out.
Book collection too on the second floor that most people don't know about.
I don't know about it.
They have a library and they opened it up in the last year, I think. And if you go up, they have just a wonderful collection of art books that people in Palm Beach have donated.
Make myself a little note of that because I'm going to have to go see that collection.
You know, I was with an artist in Palm Beach County meeting they had there, and the librarian, you know, talked about what they had. No,
that's wonderful.
Yeah,
I love to
Good
hear
to know
that.
About.
Definitely, yeah. You never know where you're going to find new, you know, pieces of inspiration, or you know, as an artist, there's times where I will have a. Maybe not a full block, but something that's, you know, I'm not feeling as jazzed about getting into the studio. And I like to go and try and find sources of other arts that have, you know, been wonderfully made or in a different, just get a different perspective on somebody else's process. Usually I look for processes that are completely dissimilar to my own.
Yeah.
But that might be another spot for me to check out sometime. I like that. So we've talked about some community collaboration with Urban Sketching and your work with the Armory.
Yeah.
We've talked about the mosaic, which I'm very excited to see.
Yep. It's not ready yet, so I can't show it.
I understand. Yes. I understand. It's tight under wraps until when
it's
when
ready.
Does that officially get launched, I guess?
My drop down deadline is before Christmas.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it faster. Well, they got to arm wrestle with the Armory, you know?
Yeah. Who's getting your attention right now? That's great. Well, let's talk about some future advice then. I definitely always want to, you know, share. You've shared so much about your career highlights and you know, perspectives as a many medium, you know, multimedia artist.
Yeah.
Is there some advice that you would maybe give to somebody who's looking to, you know, either get more into a daily art practice or somebody who's looking to become a freelance illustrator? Is there some tidbit that you might like to leave for somebody kind of trying to get
Well, those are two different questions for me.
Yeah, they are.
So, and I'm going to answer
pick
them
which one you like the best.
You want me
or
to pick?
Pick both.
Okay. Daily practice. If you want to really discover where you can go, you need to draw. It won't happen by itself. You have to practice. So don't be real critical and set a time and put out a timer and figure out what you're going to draw and just see what happens. And just don't let that inner critic, you know, just don't pay attention because you're just going to learn. You're going to learn and you'll look closer at things. So, and as far as being, what was the other one? To get
maybe advice for somebody if they're looking to freelance.
All right. If you want to be an illustrator, I would recommend Mike Lowry's Getting Paid to Draw online course that he does every spring. He does it once a year. He's a children's book and adult book illustrator. And he has this, I think it's 8 weeks, and it's just fabulous. He has people come in. that do all kinds of illustrations. They go through all the different kinds of illustration you do for greeting cards and license work and books and advertising. And they have speakers come in that do these things. They also talk about agents, contracts, accounting. And it's not a portfolio building course. It's a business course on how to get the work and how to make contacts. And he's really funny. He's got a great sense of humor. And people just, like, I sign up for the alumni just to hear his jokes and the few new speakers that they get. So
I love that.
But it's so well worth it. So if you still would need to get some formal training, I think. I mean, there are some self-made illustrators. A lot of people that are graphic designers, which I was more. I went to school for media art. I was supposed to choose between graphic design and illustration, and I refused. And I do use them both. But it had some downsides because not focusing on one thing 100%, you just get it watered down. So I never really, you know, I just dabbled with illustration. So, you know, there's things that you can learn about composition and color theory. There's just a lot to learn about being an illustrator. It's different than fine art or just painting something you see. You have to figure out how to simplify things, how to show more action and tell a story, you know. So there's all kinds of online courses. And if you're able to, you know, go to college for it, all the better. But as far as business, if you've already got some background, you can kind of squeak by if you take Mike Lowry's Getting Paid to Draw class and, you know, find the business ends of it and then just figure it out, you know, but daily practice, just keep going.
Set the timer. Don't be critical. Just do it.
Time for the critical is after you got something down, and then not a mean critical.
Right.
It's just like, what does this need?
Yeah.
Or how could this be better? Or
you know, a constructive perspective.
Yeah. It takes a while to get to that because any artist I've ever met has been really hard on themselves and has those moments of doubt and fear. So the more you can get in the habit of just using that critic, you know, wisely, telling it to shut up until it's their turn.
I like that. That's perfect.
Not to be so mean.
Yeah. Very good advice. Thank you for that. Lastly, really, is there maybe a future goal for your work? Is there something that you have your set sights on, a project that you would like to get into, or, you know, something that you want to put out there that you're interested in?
Yes. I am interested in books now. I don't know. I just thought it would be so cool to have like a picture book, the whole book that's printed with your beautiful, it's got to be beautiful, illustrations. And I like to write. I write every day. So I am going to work on, for me, not being able to decide, I think I want to do a picture book because you get those big spreads and then they're only like, you know, a certain amount of pages. I don't think they're more than 40. They're usually less. But I am also very interested in graphic novels. I always have a graphic novel from the library out, and I've been studying all these alternative comics. Last year, I took Linda Barry's Making Comics book, and I went through almost every single exercise in the book. I've got like a stack of stuff.
Wow.
Of comics that I made that helped me to tell stories in sequence. And I've just been reading a lot of books about comics and the language of comics. And there's a lot to it. You know, it hasn't really gotten the respect that it deserves.
Well, I think it's one of those arts that you can probably take for granted as a viewer that it, you know, I don't want to say that it's simple by any means, but it has a simplicity and a digestibility to it as a viewer that, you know, it's something that's easy to read, easy to flip through, but there's a very, you know, there's a precision complexity to creating that thing that makes it easy for you to follow this story and to move with the characters and to probably get attached to them as well, to feel something for, you know, this character that's on the page. So yeah, I like that goal for you. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So it's just that the graphic novels take a lot longer.
For sure.
So I think I'll probably start with picture books. And so as soon as I clear the decks with these cultural council projects I've got going now, I'm going to sit down and get
started on
children's book illustration portfolio ready, so I feel confident in that area.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, yeah. I look forward to seeing the mosaic art and then whatever comes next for you. I'm excited to look at that and to see how it develops. And if anybody else wants to connect with you, look at your artwork, see the work that you do now, how could they do that? Website, social media, now's your time to plug those.
Okay. My website is jeanmartincreative.com, and my first name is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E. My mother had to get fancy there. Jean Martin Creative. And then I have the Weird Daily Drawings on Instagram, which I mentioned earlier.
That's right.
I pretty much abandoned my straightforward one. I don't touch it anymore, so I just keep with that. And then I'm on Facebook. It's Jean Martin. And I'm on LinkedIn, and I only post there if it's relevant to like a business kind of a thing. So it's less frequent. Like with Instagram, you could just put your pictures up and share what you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it makes sense, I put something on LinkedIn.
Great. Yeah. So that's a lot of places for people to connect with you or reach out. Right, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some audience members that are really interested in what you're doing in your work and excited to see it too. Thank you so much for being on here, coming on the podcast and sharing all your, you know, career insights and what you've done. And of course, what you're working on now. It's always exciting to know the artists that are really active in the community and what makes this area very rich in culture and how much there is to really appreciate about it. And who knows, maybe I'll join Urban Sketching.
You don't have to do it. Just show up.
All right.
It's nothing. There shouldn't be anything intimidating about it. It's a place to go draw with other people.
I mean, that does sound good to me. Yeah,
easy
that does
breezy.
Sound good to me. All right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you again. I'm going to just say a big thank you to all our listeners and viewers. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll check out some of the places that we mentioned, the Army Arts Center and Norton Sculpture Garden, Society for Arts. There's a lot of other fun places around. You can certainly check out Mosaic. It's the month of, let me get this right. It's the month of shows, art, ideas, and culture that happens in the month of May. And in the meantime, tune in to the next episode of the Artie Raw podcast. Big thank you to our sponsor, as always, the Cultural Council. We appreciate you greatly. See you next time.